Good morning, Juliet.
Hi, Nick. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And these statistics for caregivers and caring for those with Alzheimer's and other dementias, they're pretty sobering, to be honest. But talking about caregivers specifically, they face significant challenges when they're trying to take care of a spouse or a loved one with dementia.
That's right. The Alzheimer's Association Alzheimer's Disease Facts and Figures Report for 2024 is telling us that dementia caregivers, they want and they need help navigating a very complex healthcare system, and they need help accessing community-based services. It's not that we haven't known that caregiving is complex. We've known that for a long time, and it takes so much out of an individual. But what we know now is that things are getting even more complex, and we need to start looking at how we as a community and a society can help navigate that whole journey for someone who's going through this.
All right. Juliet, you know that this is very personal for me as my father passed from dementia, and I want to tell a story and then have you tie that into these statistics, because these statistics are things we lived as a family. So I'm gonna step back for just a second. During my time in Topeka, before we came here to Hutchinson, I don't remember if it was 2017 or 2018 that our pastor from my home church in the little town in Iowa where I grew up and where my parents still lived at the time basically said to me, Nick, if you guys don't do something, meaning you and your sisters, your mother's going to die first and you're going to have to take care of your dad. Well, unfortunately, he was prescient in that, and she did pass first on January 6th of 2021, and it did end up falling to my sisters to help take care of Dad in his final stages of dementia over the final year or so, year and a half, something like that. That is not a unique situation. In fact, dementia caregivers, according to this latest survey, report higher rates of chronic conditions. And though we don't know what mom's cause of death was, she did have congestive heart failure and was dealing with that at the time of her passing. So presumptively that had at least something to do with it, but we didn't go through all the steps of that. But that's just one of those many chronic conditions that caregivers may be dealing with.
You're absolutely right, and it is not uncommon. 89,000 individuals in the state of Kansas are caring for someone with dementia, and more than half of those, you know, say that navigating their health care was difficult. They are stressed. It's kind of an understatement to say that caregivers are stressed and that coordinating care is stressful. But when you think about it, the person who has dementia or Alzheimer's disease really does not have that kind of stress. They have a stress of their own just with the disease. But everything else is reliant on that caregiver, whether it's helping to coordinate the care or to arrange doctor's appointments or to find a doctor, to get access to a doctor. When we're talking about people who are in rural communities who may not even have a neurologist in their community at all, how stressful is that to not even know where to go? So it's becoming more and more evident that care navigation services need to be offered not only by associations like the Alzheimer's Association, but by individual healthcare companies. And that's kind of where we're at. We're seeing it more and more, but we're really asking for dementia care navigation to be part of healthcare systems.
Is the best way to handle that to, from a policy perspective, to try to get it done through the Medicare system? Because there is early onset Alzheimer's, and there are quite a few dementia patients that are not quite 65. But I'm thinking about catching the most people quickest. Or is private side insurance the best way to handle that from a policy perspective? Have you heard anything from any of your advocates on that?
Well, it just kind of depends. You know, I have met people very recently who have an early onset diagnosis, which means under the age of 65. So here is a family who both he and his wife, she is his care partner, they are both under the age of 65, have not been able to access any kind of Medicare services because of their age, and have not been able to get into the system where they can access the new Leqembi drug. Now, this has been in a situation where now they are gaining access and they are using private pay insurance to get them into that system, but it is extremely complicated. The Alzheimer's Association is really focusing on a few different things as we move forward in this, and one of them is to really find specific healthcare workers who can be specific care navigators. Right now, we have healthcare workers who are doing their own job, plus they are doing care navigation work, and it's just too much. So if we could get to identify community health workers or social workers or home health aides, whatever they are, who can specifically be dementia care navigators, we believe that would really help. And you did mention Medicare and Medicaid, and in July, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, they're launching an 8-year pilot program in dementia care management. And it's going to really be about an alternative payment model to incentivize health systems to have care navigation. So there are things in the works. It's going to take some time, but I think the important point here is that we are very aware that care navigation is very important.
Go ahead and give the website and the phone number for the Alzheimer's Association, because one of the things that people that are giving care during this situation, especially if they're early on in it, if there's been a recent diagnosis, they may think, hey, I'm the only person to whom this is happening. And we all know that that's not the case, Juliet. So can you give some of those resources where they can look and maybe get some help and some answers right away?
Yes, I can. And the 24/7 Alzheimer's Association helpline is your best resource. It's 800-272-3900. It is called a helpline, but I want to make sure everyone understands that if you just need someone to talk to, if you just have a question, if you're looking for a support group, if you are panicked because your loved one grabbed the keys and ran out and he hasn't driven a car for 15 years, anything is okay to call the helpline about. They are master's level clinicians who are answering that call, and they can answer it in more than 200 languages. So anytime, day or night, that's your best resource. If you're a website kind of person, then ALZ.org is where you want to go. And when we're talking about resources for caregivers, there's an amazing amount of resources there. It's just one of those things that, you know, you never know. You don't know what you don't know. And so when you get on there and start looking for ways to talk to other people who might be going through the same thing that you are, or just read a blog, or just get in there and look at some of these facts and figures that we're talking about today, I would suggest you do that at ALZ.org.
Well, and one of the bigger pieces that is important for folks to know is that when it comes to managing care on a daily basis, this is a universal problem, but it's a even bigger problem for certain demographics than others.
You're right. African Americans are 1.5 times more likely to have Alzheimer's disease. What we know about the gender situation is that 2/3 of individuals over the age of 65 with Alzheimer's are women, and 2/3 of those caring for people who have Alzheimer's are women. So this is Alzheimer's doesn't discriminate. Anyone can get it. However, we do know that some demographics are more likely to get that.
All right. And you talked about a drug. Where is the process on that as far as getting it into the system and having it be something that people can get access to and afford?
Right. Talk to your primary care physician about your cognitive issues. If you are diagnosed with any kind of dementia or Alzheimer's and you're seeing a neurologist, ask about your potential to get Leqembi, which is the new drug out. It's an infusion drug, so unfortunately there are access issues, meaning you may not have an infusion center close to where you live, but we're trying to change that. As we look for this in the future, that drug might be a pill, and there might be a blood test to tell you whether or not you actually have Alzheimer's. So there's so many things in the pipeline, and these drugs are the first drugs that are actually affecting the biology of the disease. It used to be that the drugs were just kind of leveling out symptoms, but that's not the case anymore. These are actually affecting the biology of the disease. So we are in a place we've never been before. It's very exciting, and I can really have hope that the next drug that comes down the pipeline is doing even more than Leqembi.
Okay, and is that, at least from what we know right now, that's the earlier, obviously, like most drugs, you can, during the progression of the disease, you can get it, the better off you are for it.
Well, this definitely, these drugs that are coming down the pipeline are definitely for individuals who are in the early stages of Alzheimer's. That's why it's so important for people to get a diagnosis as early as possible, because if you wait, and you are past the threshold of being able to have a drug that helps you, then that's obviously problematic. So that's why we've always really been a proponent of early diagnosis, not only just for access to drugs, but for everything from being part of a clinical trial to being emotionally and financially stable to make your own decisions early in your life. And we know that the earlier you are diagnosed, the less you're going to spend on your Alzheimer's journey, which sounds a little awkward, but it's definitely the case, because if you wait too long and you're in panic mode and you have to make quick decisions, you can't even make your own decisions and somebody else is making them for you, then it becomes a much more complicated and expensive journey.
Again, we've been talking to Juliette Bradley with the Alzheimer's Association, and you can find out more information at alz.org. Juliette, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you spending a few minutes with us this morning.